Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And also we have with us today, Corey Anderson, a good friend of this ministry. Corey has been studying Mormonism for about 2 decades and has a pretty good handle on what Mormon doctrine and history is all about. And together, we have been going through a book that came out in 2017 titled Changed Through His Grace, a book written by Brad Wilcox, a BYU professor. And Brad Wilcox talks on this subject a lot. He's a very popular speaker. And unfortunately, in reading this book, we find that it's not only very confusing, very misleading, sometimes even deceptive. And so we're trying to understand what he is wanting to get across to his readers. And unfortunately, we feel that some of the things that he says are probably going to be used by Mormons to try and convince Christians that what Mormons believe is not all that different from Christianity, even though Mr. Wilcox will say things like, well, some Christians believe, making a clear distinction between what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is teaching as opposed to what many evangelicals believe. Now, we're going to switch gears a little bit here at the beginning of the show to get away from the idea of grace to talk about the fall. Does Mormonism teach that the fall of Adam and Eve was sin? Well, here's what Mr. Wilcox says on page 148. He says, "We honor Eve, who was immortal in the Garden of Eden, and whose voluntary and selfless choice brought birth after premortality." In other words, Mormonism teaches that had not Adam and Eve partaken of the forbidden fruit, they would not have been allowed to procreate. Now, this teaching is certainly not new in Mormonism. It goes way back. Even Brigham Young was teaching that what Adam and Eve did was a positive thing. What did Brigham Young teach back in June of 1864?
And this is found in Journal Discourses, Volume 10, page 312. He said, "Some may regret that our first parents sinned. This is nonsense. If we had been there and they had not sinned, we should have sinned. I will not blame Adam or Eve. Why? Because it was necessary that sin should enter into the world. No man could ever understand the principle of exaltation without its opposite. No one could ever receive an exaltation without being acquainted with its opposite. How did Adam and Eve sin? Did they come out in direct opposition to God and to his government? No. But they transgressed a command of the Lord, and through that transgression, sin came into the world. The Lord knew they would do this, and he had designed that they should."
Now, here's what's confusing. Brigham Young is admitting that our first parents sinned. What he's calling nonsense is the idea that some might regret that they sin. He makes it very clear that Adam and Eve did sin. Did they come out in direct opposition to God and to his government? No. But they transgressed a command of the Lord, and through that transgression, sin came into the world. Now, here's why it's confusing. What did Joseph Fielding Smith teach on this subject in his book, Answers to Gospel Questions, Volume 5, page 15?
He said the fall of Adam and Eve was not a sin, but an essential act upon which mortality depends.
Okay, it was an essential act. I get that in the context of Mormonism. But how can he get away with saying it was not a sin when Brigham Young said it was a sin, and as a sin, that's how sin came into the world? Now, they try to play this game that sin and transgression are not the same. What is taught in Preparing for Exaltation, a manual that came out in 1993, Eric?
It says that the fall of Adam was not a sin, but a blessing. It enables us to progress toward exaltation. That's found on page 9. Then on page 13, The decision of Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit was not a sin, as it is sometimes considered by other Christian churches. It was a transgression, an act that was formally prohibited, but not inherently wrong.
And here's what Wilcox says about all this. In light of all those statements that we just went through, on page 148, he said, "If we knew the day Adam and Eve fell, we could rightly celebrate it just as we do Christmas and Easter. Maybe choirs of angels sang, 'Glory to God in the highest,' on that occasion too, for without the fall and the opposition it brought, we could never fully appreciate the peace and goodwill toward men proclaimed at Christ's birth." Corey, what do you think of that? Because I'm appalled by this statement. I've always known that they have looked at the fall as a positive thing. Some have said even a fall upward. But to hear him say that if we really understood the fall of Adam and Eve, that we would celebrate it as we do Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, it's shocking just to read those words, to even imagine that somebody would put that in the same context of Christmas and Easter. Christmas and Easter are God's response, if you want to look at it that way, to the fall. It's God's response, of course, that he knew in eternity past, yes, but it's still his response to the sin that took place in the fall. And we don't celebrate the sin of the fall. We celebrate the response, the redemptive response that God brought through Jesus.
Well, what about this idea that somehow, as Joseph Fielding Smith would say, that it's not really a sin, or as in these manuals that Eric just read, that it's really just a transgression? Is a Mormon justified in saying that it was not a sin, it was merely a transgression? What would we say to a Mormon who might use that type of an argument?
There's two things. I mean, we can look at Romans 5, for example. The other thing, before I read that, is to say that why are they trying to make that distinction? Why are they trying to, what we'd say is splitting hairs, for sure. Sin and transgression. I mean, there's a number of words in Scripture that talk about what sin is. It's not just the word sin. So transgression is a particular kind of sin. It's still a sin. Why are they trying to make the distinction? Because they have to avoid what is right in front of them. And the fact is that they have two commands that they see in Scripture: multiply and fill the earth. God told Adam and Eve to do that. And the other command is, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so if they were going to become mortal so that they could procreate and bring children from preexistence down into earthly bodies, they had to become mortal, therefore they had to eat from the tree and sin. So God had placed them, in their theology, in a conflict of commands. They could not uphold that. So instead then of saying it is a sin to eat from the tree, well, let's call it a transgression. Let's soften it so it's more palatable then for us to be able to say, well, what they did was necessary. It was a transgression. The problem, of course, so there's a number of problems, but one of them is that that's not at all what it says in Romans 5. To read Romans 5, for example, Paul says, and this is reading out of the King James Version, "Wherefore, as by one man," it's referring to Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men," or upon all men, "for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." So, I mean, clearly there's an interplay in the text between the word sin, the word transgression. Adam sinned, and in the particular way he sinned was in the similitude of Adam's transgression. Passage actually goes on even to say in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." You know, going back to that quote from Brigham Young, where he said, how did Adam and Eve sin? Did they come out in direct opposition to God? Romans 5 seems to say, you know, this was an issue of man's disobedience. Man's sin, the specific kind of sin, was a transgression. It's still a sin.
And Corey, the thing too is that you needed to have somebody come and fix this, and that was Jesus.
That's right.
In fact, it says in verse 18, "By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." That doesn't sound very positive. "Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." So it seems to be a problem to say this is a positive thing if Jesus had to come and fix it.
That's right.
And I think what it also seems to overlook or ignore is all you have to do is listen to the news one day to see the horrible result of that fall. I mean, we look at the horrible things that go on in the world. There's hardly any good news to report. It's usually very bad. It's very depressing. And most of the time, it's the direct result of sinful mankind's desires, where they want to impose their sinfulness on some other human being. How in the world could you ever watch something like that in some kind of news clip and walk away thinking, you know what? I think I want to celebrate that like I celebrate Christmas and like I celebrate Easter. We should be utterly ashamed of what we as humans have become, because unfortunately, this is not how God intended it to be. The fall is what caused all this to happen. It's kind of like when I had a Mormon one time come up to me and ask me why I didn't want to be a Mormon. And I told him, your idea of heaven doesn't appeal to me. And he didn't know what I meant. I said, look at everything going on in this world. I says, I'm ashamed that I'm a part of this problem. The last thing I want is to be in charge of this problem.
Yeah.
And that's what Mormon godhood is all about. They're going to have a world that's going to have a tempter, it's going to need a redeemer. In other words, the process is going to have to repeat as it's been going on since eternity past. That doesn't even strike me as something that I would desire in the next life.
Isn't the definition of depravity the celebration of sin? I think that's pretty close to what I understand.
Yeah.
And so when you're celebrating transgression, sin, I think it's all semantics. Well, I think that would be what the world does today, because it takes obscene acts and it flaunts it for everyone to see.
Oh yeah, definitely. It glories in the things that hurt God. And even as Christians, we don't seem to get all of that out of our system. We are still innately sinful and we struggle with that throughout our entire life. We will never overcome that, unfortunately, during this mortality.
That's right.
Well, tomorrow we're going to continue looking at this book by Brad Wilcox, a BYU professor, titled Changed Through His Grace. It saddens me to think that some Christians might buy into believing that somehow the beliefs of Mormonism and even the personal beliefs of Brad Wilcox are somehow compatible with the New Testament, because certainly it does not seem to be.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.